definition of a leader full of strength. Growing up as a child where she learned her pain, she knew what it felt when people just didn't care. That's why she's making the change to show how to be aware. Including everyone is how you truly grow. That's why she's helping other leaders so they truly know. You gotta share the spotlight and help others shine. Don't let anyone feel unworthy inside.
Hello everybody. If you could do me a huge favor, I won't ask you any other favor as long as you listen to this podcast. And that is to go press the follow button that you see on any of the podcasts. It's usually in the right-hand corner, and it just says follow. And when you follow that, it allows me just to expand the reach. It's already a global podcast, but the more people subscribe, the more people know about it, the more lives we impact. So just do that one thing for me. I won't ask you to do anything else, and it is just to press the follow button to subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows and you help to expand our reach. Thank you so much. I am super thrilled to have Sandra Torrey on with me today. She is someone who has an amazing program around social responsibility that she's leading in her organization. And it's not coming from a place you might ordinarily assume this type of program, this type of focus for an organization would come from. And so that's why I'm really excited to have Sandra on. So welcome, Sandra.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So tell everybody where you are right now in your leadership journey. Where are you at?
So I am the co-president and CFO of Lavage, and we are a full-service advertising marketing agency in Phoenix, Arizona. And so my primary role is the financial health and strategic growth of the agency. But the other side of that is making sure that we are keeping with our values and vision in everything that we do. And so, like you said, I started a program called Impact, Giving and Caring with Passion, and it's an employee volunteer program. And I feel like that is a really good way to make sure that we all remain aligned with that value and vision.
I love that. I want to go a little deeper because, again, I mean, you're normally going to see this kind of program coming from I'm going to use what other people may be thinking, say, which is like the softer side of a business. It'd be like HR or like communications or something like that, right?
Right.
Not from the CFO. Now, right. I do get you're the CFO of an agency, so there's already that element to it. But still, you're the CFO who needs to be, first and foremost, looking at the bottom line.
Correct.
Making sure that there's good net profit, all the things, the numbers that you're looking for. So I am so curious to know. So did you start this program? Why did you start the program? Like, what was the inspiration of the program? I want to hear more about it.
Yeah. So we've been around for a long time, over 40 years. And we are run by a CEO, family, Bill Lavage. And in 2018, he sold to an ESOP. So we became an employee-owned company. And at first he did a minority sale and then finished in a later year. But it was at that time where I was like, wait a minute. So we've got this great CEO. He's really involved in the community. He gives a lot monetarily to the community, and that's fantastic. But what do we as employees in now an employee-owned environment, what can we do? And where's our giving back? And I could tell, just as someone that interviews a lot of our employees, almost all of our employees I interview for a little while, that people were sort of begging for it. Like, what are you doing? What is your company doing in the community? People are asking that a lot as a determining factor if they wanted to come work at Lavage. And so it wasn't just that, but it was also this personal need for me to have some purpose in leadership. It's like, I've got the debits and the credits. I'm monitoring the utilization and the productivity. I'm making sure that there's this great bottom line, but there's more to life than that. And so what can we do? Yeah. What can we do as a group to push that? And so I think just the mere fact of that I was leading it, people were open, a little more open, like, they're worried about their billable hours and they're worried about stuff like that. But when I come along and say, hey, we're going to implement this program and we're going to start giving back and we're going to do more than the once a year photo op, like we're going to get in and we're going to get our hands dirty and we're going to do this. People were really excited about it and open-minded about it. So we started it mid-year 2019. We were all still in the office. It was pre-COVID. So we had a lot of people just immediately right off the bat signed up. And then I was like, okay, wait, we really need to put some structure around this. What is the purpose of this committee, I guess you could call it, or program. Let's do a logo. Let's get a logo. Let's brand it. Let's get a mission statement. Let's create a policy around it so that people understand exactly what it is and have permission to go out and do it. So we did. We developed a policy where employees can volunteer in impact events 16 hours a year. And there's about 60, 65 of us during the workday. We're not going to take your evenings. We're not going to take your weekends. We recognize those are for you. So we're going to do it together in the workday. And then COVID happened. And I was like, wait a minute, we're not dropping this. Like, there's got to be a way that we can do some of this virtually. We all went home. We immediately transitioned to this remote first work environment, which we are still at today. I mean, it was relatively simple, believe it or not. And we kept it going. And we just found virtual opportunities. We worked with an organization that helps readers, people that suffer from dyslexia in school and have a hard time reading. So there's this whole online program where we could edit the books and we could listen to the tone to make sure that it would work for someone that is dyslexic that's listening to the book. And so we found a lot of great opportunities that year to do remote work. And we really have just kept it going ever since then. And it's been fantastic.
Oh my gosh. So I'd love to know, this is the like geeky side of me. And plus also like the thinking of the AHR hat or like the hat, right, the organizational leadership hat. So it'd be like, what have you seen since you've started that? I mean, did you do almost a comparison on retention numbers? Like, do you notice either retention? Did you notice a difference on, for example, millennials or that younger generation wanting to come in because you have a program like this? Like, have you seen that? And then also, I would say thirdly, so it's kind of just metric oriented, retention and recruitment of a younger generation potentially. And then thirdly is like have you seen any changes in the metrics? You are the CFO. So right. I'm curious to know if you've seen any of these hardline things.
I definitely have seen this need filled. So when people interview at Lavage, that is one of their questions. What are you doing as an organization to give back? And because we have this program, they love it. I mean, it's one of the boxes they'll check, like, that's where I want to go work. Now, all of that is very balanced too, with it's sort of ingrained in our statement of values, in who we are. But there's also, it's a work environment. So you're gonna work hard, and then you're gonna come out, and we're gonna work hard together with other people in the community to make sure that their lives are impacted. And it has definitely, during COVID, we didn't lose a single person. We did not lay off anyone. We kept everyone. Everyone continued to participate. And I think it reminds you, when they go out and they see what's going on in the community, it reminds them that they're sort of nitpicky complaints during the workday maybe aren't that serious, but it really does, because we're going there together and you're seeing things that sometimes are incredibly heartbreaking. And I think that helps us keep things in perspective. And so we stay grounded throughout our workday, which is amazing.
Oftentimes what I talk about, I'll say, well, if you do this with employees and for employees, if you sit with them and you help, you understand their needs, if you spend more time and you're doing right, it's going to help them lean in or dig in more to the initiatives and the goals and the things right. that you have or need to get done for the organization. Have you found that there's more maybe commitment, more buy-in to things that are happening because you have this kind of like togetherness, the together we're going to help solve the world issues, yeah. those kind of things. Do you feel that there's a difference there?
I do. And the other thing that we do is we say, if there is a passion of anyone where you want to get involved, we will use our efforts to focus on that passion. So the volunteer opportunities are all over the place. We'll do anything from going to the Potbelly Pig Rescue, to doing medical supplies, to going and feeding the homeless. Arizona is a dry desert. There's water opportunities. We pass out water. So I think the employees understand that, well, wait, I'm not necessarily into going down to the Humane Society, but something over here, I want to help kids. Then that's incorporated into the program. Or there's some people that serve on committees of bigger organizations that are nonprofit organizations. They can bring that to us and we'll support it. So we're very open, and we're trying to support our employees, not just the employees, but the community as well. So it works out really well. I get great ideas. They bring me really unique ideas. Like, we looked at one the other day where they need baby snugglers for infants that are born addicted to drugs. And so our job would be to go in and hold these babies. So that's a little bit different than going to a food bank or going to a thrift store. So we try to make sure there's a little bit in there for everyone at Lavage. And I think that makes them more excited about it.
I am curious to know if any of those ideas ever turned into like new business or like, cause I know you weren't going into it for that, but is there anything that was like, wow, like either it was an idea that spun off a new service or something like that? I'm just always curious about that.
Yeah. We do have some nonprofit clients and so they haven't really come to us necessarily because of that, but I think we are, as an organization, we are known for giving back. I mean, we got that award recently, the Phoenix Business Journal, and we've had several other awards. And sometimes when I see the awards, I think to myself, is this a marketing thing? Like we're sort of puffing our chests over here. And that part sort of bothers me, even though I'm in a marketing organization. Yeah. Cause I want to make sure we're doing it for the right reasons and that we're truly, it's not about us and our glory. It's about who we're serving. And sort of leading with purpose and making an impact, which is the name of it. So we do have some nonprofit clients, but it's really a separate thing from new business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the fact that that's centeredness. Cause I think you're right. Even though you're not doing it purposely for like a marketing venture or PR, it just is feeding into your already existing brand of givers.
So right.
You're already like servant in the way that you do things. And then this just is all on top of it. It's just who you are. And it's from a place of like genuineness.
Right.
They know it. And so it's just going to be easier to bring that on. I think that's the key here is like with all the things, even if you weren't in this type of business and you weren't, the point of the matter is that when people see that you're, if it's one of their values, to give back and they're working with the organization and they want that organization to be that kind of organization, they're going to want to continue to align with you, refer to you, all of those things because you are aligning. So I think it's a very, very good lesson, I think, for us listening, whether you are owning your own organization, you're a leader in the organization, you're a leader of a team, whatever that might be. I think there's some opportunity for us to be thinking a little differently about this social responsibility.
And that's really ingrained in our brand as an organization. Like we make sure that our interaction with each other is it has a meaningful purpose. And now that we're all remote, we went to remote, and then there's the concern that, well, what about our culture? And now everybody's separate, and are we going to be able to function in this creative, collaborative environment with a remote first lens? And we have found that impact is a great way to bring people together. So I'm talking to mostly accounting people all day, or I'm talking just the 10 people that I maybe work directly with. And I'm not talking to necessarily everyone, but an impact event, you get to hang out with people that you wouldn't normally talk to. So it almost has replaced some of the in-person culture that we had when we were not remote first. So that's what I tell people when we hire them. It's a great way to get to know other people in the organization. You talk about not work things. I mean, you'll talk about fun things, or you'll talk about where your passions are in terms of giving and that kind of stuff. So it really has been rewarding.
Oh, I love that. That's just a great idea. So for those who are listening too, like if you're in that remote first, or you're having struggles with a hybrid workplace kind of things, the connection you feel like is really slipped, or the engagement slipped, this is a great way to do it. It's like initiating these kinds of efforts where people are going to come out to it, particularly if they had a voice in like creating the opportunities.
Right.
Then they come out to it, and now you have some of that connection coming back. It's outside of a quote unquote office, but like the office is the, like doing the social stuff in the community becomes the office when you're remote first or even hybrid. So I really love that.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch too. It's like, I'll see people that I don't see very often. They'll come out to an event and they're in there and they're sweating and they're putting the hard work in. And it really just makes me feel so proud of our organization, because they're not just doing it like, okay, I volunteered, here I am for the, like I said, once a year kind of photo op. They're really in there and they're working really hard and they're really trying to make a difference. And it has just been, it's just so nice to see.
Tell the listeners a little bit about a time maybe when you maybe like this side of you, again, because you're a CFO, like this side of you was like, was not really alive. Like maybe it just hadn't been like perked up and you weren't thinking necessarily in this way. And really, maybe you were more numbers focused, more, and not saying you're not now. It's just that you didn't maybe have both sides of you working. Do you tell them about a time of maybe when that was and just kind of what did you do to come out like more enlightened? Was there some trigger? Was there something that came out for you that just helped you see, oh, wait, there's a lot of value in this. And this is going to really add a lot to even just all of our work experiences.
Yeah. And I have spent, as a CFO, I'm a CPA. Any job that I have, it's been in accounting. And so I am sort of built that way, where I kind of compartmentalize finances away from the emotional elements of decisions, or when I try to make sure everything is grounded in logic. And so I think and I've been with Lavage for a long time, over, I think this is my 22nd year. And so in many ways, wow, I've grown up here. And I think I started out as, my job is to protect the shareholder. My job is to protect the bottom line. My job is to make sure that Lavage is as financially accessible as possible. And so a lot of what I did is look at things through that financial lens. But now I'm in a little bit of a different position as co-president. I have been involved a lot in operations, administration, I oversee HR. So there's some other elements that have come in the last 10 years. And so I think I just try to be a little more open-minded and in understanding that just because it looks good on paper doesn't mean that it's necessarily the right and only decision, that things are a little more complex than that. And so in decision making now, I feel like I have a little bit of a different lens. So I can look back and say there have been things that I've done that have just been very rigid. And I'm proud that I've sort of maybe grown out of that a little bit, where I see more points of view and I listen more. I think a good example of that is when COVID hit, when, you know, every advertising agency is talking about furloughs and we're cutting salaries and we're laying people off. And I just thought, you know what, we're going to sit tight. We're going to just hunker down, do the best that we can with what we have and what we know today, and hang in there. And we didn't have a single layoff. We didn't have we didn't cut any compensation. We all hung in there and we ended up having one of our better years, which is just, I'm kind of in awe of that. And I'm not saying it's because, you know, of me or anything like that, but I think our culture is such now where we recognize that it's more than just the bottom line. And so, I'm saying this as a CFO and someone who's responsible for the bottom line, I think those soft skills really come into play and end up making the bottom line even stronger.
And it's interesting. One of the things I think there's going to be a couple questions I want to ask from that. So one thing is, do you think that during that time you hunkered down, you do these things, like was there something going on in the market that allowed you to have your best year ever for your particular industry? Was there, and then I guess the counter is, because you hunkered down and you kind of didn't cut things, did you message to the team that certain things had to be done, like to make sure they were doing certain things so that they could maintain success? In my mind, I'm like always going to go deeper. Like, now, what was exactly happening? How did you get your stronger year? What were they doing?
Yes. And we do have a lot of visibility into what people do all day. So, I mean, we track time. We can tell, everybody records everything. So it was easy to say, okay, are we maintaining productivity levels or are we not? Are we more efficient? Are we less efficient? And it really is in the numbers. That part is very clear. But the message really was, we're going to stick together, but you have to do your part. You can't go home and just blow off work. Like that we're all coming together and doing it together. And I think people were grateful for that, and it made them more productive, and you could see the growth in efficiency. We did have some clients that cut back, and there wasn't necessarily, I think it was an election year, right? 2020 was a little,
yeah.
Election wise. So there's already some instability in the market. Yes. There's already people that are scared about change and all that comes with an election year. And I would say the only additional thing that maybe happened is we did some work for the state related to voting, just not a partisan thing, but just get out and vote. Mm-hmm. And that was an additional increase in revenue. And that was, we've worked with the state before on many things, in whether it's Democrat, Republican, we're in Arizona and we work a lot with the state. So that came in and helped when some of the other clients sort of panicked and just kind of held. But it's not like there was any one specific thing that got us over. And when the employees are watching their friends get laid off and we're watching other agencies cut, it was just, I think they were just so grateful that we were going to just stick together and see what happens.
Yeah, that says a lot. And that's, it's hard to do. I mean, you see so much heartbreaking things. We see these small businesses, like in our community, where they had maybe, had, I don't know, 25 to 50 employees. They were obviously smaller, yes. But right. They're thinking about how so many businesses were just out of, or like, this was another thing that was, just, I don't know, this is so strange to me, but at my church, there were just a lot of people who passed and we didn't know. Like, it was just like so businesses that we had been going to forever, they were out because just they couldn't keep up with taxes or whatever, because people stopped coming because of all, right? Yeah. And it's just like, to think about all the things we lost, people we lost, things we lost. And then I know there was a level of gain that took place for many. And I think if we showed up in a way that said, I love the strength behind unity, like we're going to stand together, we're going to stand with you, you're going to stand with us, we're going to get through this, and we're going to stand with our community. And I think that seemed to be still a common thread that took place with you. So it's like mm-hmm. that idea of get the vote out, like the idea of still being there as a big pillar of the community, right. Then they would just almost take care of you in that regard.
Right. That's exactly it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. 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 Okay. So for those who might be, and they could be in your, because I mean, there's plenty of people who listen to this. They're going to be in finance, going to be in this. So but they could be like struggling even with that. Well, how do I maintain this like focus on the bottom line? And how do I continue to be this compassionate person that does like continue to have the strength in our force, our workforce, and at the same time, the strength in our P&L and our balance sheet and all those things.
Right.
How do I do that? What might be a couple pearls of wisdom you'd leave them with as it relates to just them choosing to lead themselves and be those kind of people?
Well, I think one, you have to have the right environment. Not every company is going to have that attitude. So be careful about where you go and kind of who you're hitching your wagon to. I really feel like Lava just is special in that regard. But I also think you can, being a leader of the organization, I'm lucky in that I can build those programs. I think if you're someone just coming into the agency, you're going, well, what difference can I make? I can't create a program, or I can't build something. And to some degree, I suppose that's true. But everybody has a voice. And I think, you know, it's really about creating boundaries for yourself, like with the time. I'm saying 16 hours a year. That's not, I mean, we can do that and still make money. It's not, and it might be 16 hours where you're not fidgeting on your phone or checking Twitter, or like it could be, like you can find it. It's pretty easy to find. And so I think, but having that, it's 16 hours a year out there. They know it's 16 hours a year. It's not 30. It's not five. It's but 16. And so it's to have an official program, I think is a big deal, because and to have that mission statement, like this is our purpose. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. These are the areas of focus. And just make it very clear. And then people will easily jump on board.
I like the idea of, like, I think the key is, and I do believe in this so much, that if we have our vision, we have our values, and we use it as like our auditing point. So it's like the scorecard that says, how are we living these out? And where are the areas we're deficient? And anybody can do that exercise, no matter where you are in the organization. And if you have a team that's finance team, and it's 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 to whatever amount of people in it, for your team, you can have that same thing. And again, be able to say, like, we can audit against it. And what are we doing? And if we say community or togetherness or whatever the heck it is, it might be one of our values, teamwork, whatever. In what environments are we using that and exhibiting that? And what areas are we deficient? And then so there could be people that could say, like in this case, it'd be better, I love for us to do teamwork, but do it not just inside and on projects, but inside or in our community. And right. I think it's a pretty amazing kind of lens to look through.
We also have this, we have a value statement, and it's beautifully branded, like all, you know, we are an advertising yes. creative firm. And that value statement we show every staff meeting. And so it's up on the screen. These are our values. And we have a program called Lavage Loves, where you can just kind of, it's a shout out. You did something great for me and I want to give you some recognition. And the Lavage Loves are tied to one of the values. So you say under this value, I'm shouting out to this person for doing X. And so I think having that too at the forefront is really important because you're constantly tying everything that you do back to that statement of values, which is amazing.
Mm. Well, I love this. In this case, you're a little bit of a revolutionary kind of person coming out in this space of finance to be the one leading this social responsibility effort. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you saying yes and coming on here. And I'm hoping that for those who listen, you take some tidbits away and understand that we all have within our control to be this kind of person. Things we choose to do or not do are really 100% underneath our own umbrella. So
And they're easy. They're easy. Like you can do it. You can create it. You can do it. And people will get excited about it. And that it really is very simple.
Sandra, really, thank you for coming on here. You've been amazing. And for those who are listening again, hopefully you got some little tidbits and don't forget to share this far and wide. Let's get more and more people these great ideas on how they can create better workplaces and better communities as well. So thank you. Thanks for coming on here.
Thank you so much, Heather. All right.
Thanks everybody for listening to the Leadership with Heart podcast. Be well. Change, uplift one another. Inclusion means that we're here for each other. Lean and listen, that's the culture we create. Caring leadership, what we truly celebrate. It's about making change, uplift one another. Inclusion means that we're here for each other. Lean and listen, that's the culture we create. Caring leadership, what we truly celebrate.